A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Rick Adelman, Pistol Pete Maravich, Ollie Johnson, Joey Devine, Bud Stallward, Bernie Fryer, Sean Keen, E.C. Coleman, Jim Barnett, Patreons, Lou Philippe, thank you Lou, Irene McGee, thank you Irene, Julian Rodriguez, thank you Julian, musical guest, Fairview Baptist Church Marching Band, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast. And we are back with a brand new episode. I am here with my very good friend, Sean Keen, permanent co-host, best friend, co-editor of the new Round Blog Rock. Is that right? What are we calling it?
Yeah, I think it's round blog, roundballrock.net, round blog rock, I guess. Boy, I'm not that, I didn't come strong with that answer at all, Joey.
It's live. Yeah. Corbin's got a great editor in chief, Corbin A. Smith, has a great intro post up there. Sean, you're going to write some stuff, right?
I am. So we also have an article from Casey Taylor that is up right now.
There's going to be lots of good stuff. Maybe some of your friends will appear. Who knows? Maybe we'll see some writing from a friend of Stan Van Gundy, a woman who was investigating a fire in Hagerstown. I won't say who that was, but
that's a new beat. That is a new beat. I did not know that that was in this writer's purview.
Also, look, big things going on at Round Ball Rock. The t-shirt store's on sale, dude. In honor of the season starting, all of Friday. Our merch is on sale at the TeePublic link in the description of this episode. So get yourself some sick ass merch. I regret now, Sean. So we have Franklin and Bash merch, right? We got Rizzoli and Isles merch. We got the Last Ship merch. Mm-hmm. I think we need to get some Alienist merch.
You know, I didn't realize how strong it was coming on in the TNT lineup. It is this year's, dare I say it, Animal Kingdom.
Oh, easily. The difference I would say between the Alienist and Animal Kingdom is I am a lot more likely to watch The Alienist than I am Animal Kingdom, I would say.
What, you don't want Ellen Barkin snarling at you with Animal surf Kingdom, criminals?
Animal Kingdom seemed so unpleasant. At least The Alienist, I'm like, yeah, okay, Dakota Fanning, like, chasing Jack the Ripper or whatever.
Right, or with, something.
With Jason Statham's brother from The Fast and the Furious, right? Isn't that who that guy is?
Oh, is that who it is? I don't know who it is. I just think of him as the guy in the Alienist commercials.
Oh, no.
I don't even, like, I don't ever think of it as a real show you can watch. But I also felt that way about The Last Ship and Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, it's Luke Evans and Daniel Brühl. Daniel Brühl, you, of course, know as the bad guy whose plan made no sense in Avengers Civil War.
Civil War, yes, yes. The guy from Sokovia who had a lot of, like, powers and training.
And then, yeah, Luke Evans, which is Don Sebastian Shaw. What is, well, first off, he's Owen Dracula. Shaw. From, yeah, Owen Shaw. Yeah, he's Dracula from Dracula Untold, of course.
And he owns the longest runway in the world, right?
Yeah. Yes, he does. Yeah, uh-huh. And he's an alienist. What I do like about, well, what I am going to say about the trailers to that show, we've been talking too long about The Alienist, probably. We should save it for next week's episode of Fans of Fanning. I remember last time they were showing commercials for The Alienist, they were really hitting hard on Daniel Brühl being the star. And now all of the promos are, this is Dakota Fanning's show. Uh-huh. So, yeah, good for Dakota, man.
Yeah.
She usurped The Alienist from, I think, The Alienist.
And I mean, I think it's also more pleasant than having Ellen Barkin yell at you. Also, remember
and you know what else it's not doing? It's not hyping up that they've added Dennis Leary to the cast.
That's also good. And there's also not like a random thong shot on the West Coast game promos. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Was that just because it was airing on the East Coast then, and they're like, we can get away with a thong?
I mean, they should.
This is a dirty surfer crime show.
But here's the thing, Sean. First off, don't be a prude. But secondly, it's cable. They could show a full-on asshole if they wanted. They just don't.
I am not objecting to that happening on the show. It surprises me to see it in a commercial.
Yeah, I'm That's just saying. All. Look, I want bottomless commercials. That's all I'm asking for.
We gotta leave the Hays Code in the past. That would be incredible if just like out of nowhere, like what we do in the shadows just started showing dick all the time. Like, look, it's. Show's on at 10 o'clock. What's the problem?
Look, there's no reason to fucking bleep.
Funny.
Look, I say this because I was actually thinking about it tonight. Ted Turner, you're a coward. Because nothing makes me hate watching live sporting events more than when the sound cuts out for, like, way too long because a guy said shit when he too loud.
Oh, right.
And it's just like, just... do it, man. Like, fucking Michelob Ultra is not gonna cut your ad revenue because they heard Carmelo Anthony say fuck.
Yeah, that's the saddest thing. Like that's, you wouldn't even get in trouble for it.
The bleep is so long. It's so annoying. It's so long. There's no way a guy cursed that long.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, these guys are not in mid-season cursing condition anyway. They don't have their wind back.
Let them curse in the bubble. I know we're in Disney, and everything's got to be PG-13.
Yeah.
But let me hear those fucks, baby.
Yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait till, like, this lands in TNT headquarters. And like a week from now, we get this commercial where Dakota Fanning's like, Jack the Ripper is a cocksucker. And you're like, whoa.
So sick.
They went pretty far.
Before we get started on our show, and look, I know we're 10 minutes into this show. We haven't started.
Well, also, if you have any Alienist merch or fan art, just send it to roundrockpod@gmail.com.
It has. We want an NBA Alienist crossover item that we can sell in our store. So send us some art, baby.
Maybe it's like a Dakota Wizard shirt, but it's Dakota Fanning. I don't know.
Don't give them ideas. Like, I want. Don't listen to him.
You know what? I'm not prompting anybody. You're right. Yeah. Hey, your own, what your heart tells you
and
is
Alienist. Plus, I want it to be specifically Alienist. I don't want Dakota Fanning merch.
Oh, right. It's got to be Dakota Fanning, Emmy Cable Ace Award winning.
I want fucking corsets and hoops, baby.
Also, we should bring back the Cable Ace Awards, even if it's just us giving them out. Only TNT shows are eligible.
All right. Twitter.com @RoundRockPod. Email us @RoundRockPod@gmail.com. Patreon.com/RoundRockPod, where if you are a Patreon, you get basically an episode basically every week. We, you know, you're getting at least three a month. But where, Sean, what are we doing on Patreon these days?
Well, we got that Discord server.
No, but what are we doing on our bonus episodes?
Well, we have been reviewing the book Furious George
by
George
Carl. It's the worst book ever written, and it's by George Carl.
It is an insane attempt by a fairly racist NBA. For someone who's been an NBA coach, I understand he's not like racist compared to, I don't know,
America?
The average America. Yeah, but remarkably racist for an NBA coach who had a job a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a book written to like rehabilitate his image, just reveling, just luxuriating and bathing in every story about him being a gigantic asshole
It's truly incredible because he never realizes he's the asshole in any situation. So, listen to that.
With roundballrock.net editor-in-chief Corbin A. Smith.
Yeah, of course.
Is, like, kind of more offended by George Carl even than us, and we hate him.
Well, we've read the book before, though.
That's right. It's newer for him. That's right. I'm just like, this old chestnut about George Carl talking about how sexually he found a motorcycle, and Corbin's just like, that's gross. I mean, it is gross. It's just, you know. It's your second sip of spoiled milk, basically, is what Joey and I are doing.
Uh-huh, yeah, email us @roundrockpod@gmail.com. Call us on the phone at the number embedded in the episode description. You know what? Before we get to voicemails, I want to ask you a question, Sean. Back to TNT real quick.
Oh, please. Yes.
What do you think of the giant desk?
Oh, I loved it so much. It was really funny. It's like, it's definitely more distancing than they needed to.
Absolutely. It's so much more distancing.
I think they absolutely did it to like frustrate and entertain Chuck specifically. He and Shaq are so far away now. Because they also have plexiglass, and it has made the very amazing trick of making Shaq almost seem normal sized.
Mm-hmm. That's the crazy thing to me.
He was also late today, by the way.
Yeah, no, Charles Barkley yelled at him.
How did he not get to the first game on time?
I don't know, man.
He's a cop. He can speed whatever he wants. Where were you, Shaq?
Well, maybe they were protesting his house, as they should be, because he's a dirty cop. All right. I love the giant desk, but here's the thing. Look, there are people out in the we have some listeners in high places, right, Sean?
Oh, we do.
if you're a blogger out there, I'm going to give you a free blog. Someone needs to interview someone at TNT and get the exact specs of that desk.
Oh, yeah. Like, that would be...
How tall is it? How long is it? All of it. Uh-huh. How'd they build it?
Yeah, like, is it made of the same stuff as the old desk?
Because it is the old desk, but it's just, like, triple-sized.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, yeah, I want to read a blog about that desk.
Can I bring up something else about Inside sure. the NBA real fast?
Is it that you wrote in John Kasich and now you regret it?
I feel bad about claiming that on Twitter today. Ernie Johnson did not actually say that John Lewis was the John Kasich of the civil rights movement. I made that up. I'm sorry to Elevator Ernie Johnson for that. He did not say that. But Barkley asked Shaq what he would have on the back of his jersey. And Shaq said that he wouldn't have anything because he said, I move in silence, and said that he'd just give his concerns to police chiefs directly. Uh-huh. And then Chuck said he would only have his own name, too. But there were a lot of things we needed, including police reform, education reform, and prison reform. And when he said prison reform, Shaq goes, oh, I'd have that. So Shaquille O'Neal's jersey would say prison reform over number 34.
Speaking of the phone number in the episode description, we got some calls. Let's go to the phones, dude.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
All right, Sean, our first call comes from a man named Joe from Portland, and he has a question about rooting for two teams from the same city. Here it goes.
Hey, guys. This is Joe from Portland, Oregon. Lived here my whole life. Big Blazers fan. I had a question for you after hearing you talk about wanting to see the Clippers face the Lakers and their different fan bases. Like, why can't people in LA just be fans of both teams? If I lived in a town with two basketball teams, I'd be thrilled. I would have twice as many teams to root for, and I'd want them both to do great. I guess maybe I'd have a preference when they play each other. But other than that, I'd want them both out there destroying everyone else. So I was curious if, you know, for your thoughts on this mentality where if you live in LA, you got to pick one or the other. You can't just root for both. Thanks.
Why can't you root for both teams?
Well, I mean,
you do.
I do root for both teams. That's the thing. I don't want to.
You don't root for both Los Angeles teams. We need to be clear. You root for both baseball teams and both
in
football
the Bay
teams,
Area.
Sort of?
Kind of. I mean, I like with the Raiders, I'm not invested in any way. So I wouldn't say that I'm a fan of the Raiders because it generally does not really bother me when they lose. But I definitely enjoy it when they are good. I rooted for them in like the early 2000s. I just make fun of them so much and am like pretty mean about them. But I've like been to more Raiders games than 49er games. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably true about the A's and Giants, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm, like, legitimately an A's fan.
Right.
I root for the A's. I know who's on the team. I get my I get very disappointed every time they blow it.
But when the Giants play the A's, you root for the Giants, right?
Yeah. I definitely have a clear preference. And you know, I also I don't know if I would have felt the same way, except my mom's parents were like straight up A's fans. Mm-hmm. My grandpa was a cop in Oakland. His son was a big A's fan. And then they had like two of their sons weirdly were Dodger fans too. And I was just like, what? Well, I don't know where that comes from. But so I, you know, I would go to A's games when I was like 6 or 7. I went to the All-Star game and I didn't go to the All-Star game. I went to the All-Star workout the day before when they did the home run derby at like 1 p.m. on a Monday. It was a different time. Yeah. So I am pretty into that. And yeah, I mean, you don't like the Giants.
I really fucking hate the Giants. Rooting for the Giants is a it shows loose morals. You're a bad person. And
but you're also from Alameda. Like you're very close. You're from very close to.
Yeah.
I mean, how long does it take you to drive to the Coliseum from
7 minutes,
house?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and, what I will say is my entire family is Giants fans.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And your mom is a big Giants fan, right?
Like one time my grandpa, it was some birthday of his. I was very little. It was like 1989. No, it would have been 91, I think. So I just decided to root for the A's during the 89 World Series because everyone was rooting for the Giants and I was a little asshole, I guess. But also look, if you're a child, I'm sorry, Will Clark's nickname might be the Thrill, but you know who's actually thrilling? Ricky Henderson.
I thought you were gonna say,
and Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire and Dennis Eckersley, like
well, they were like cartoon characters.
Exactly. It was like a team built for children to love, in the same way Ken Griffey was. I would say, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's just in the same way Steph Curry is, honestly.
Yeah. And Kevin Mitchell is like kind of a beloved folk hero, but with like way too much of an edge. You know, it's like where it's like, hey, he caught that ball right-handed. Oh, he burned his tooth eating a donut. But then it's also like he almost beat Daryl Strawberry to death in minor league camp. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah, but so like my grandpa one time for his birthday, they hated the A's so much. Someone gave him a gag gift. It was a poster-sized team photo of the Oakland A's in the 91 A's. And they were all like, ew, gross. And I was like, that's so tight. That's a good present. What? Like, I didn't understand the irony yet.
Right. But yeah, but for the most part, up until interleague play, aside from that World Series, it was kind of like, when would your fandom ever come into conflict? Mm-hmm. Like, occasionally a middle reliever would pitch for both teams.
Sure.
You know? Ernie Riles was traded for Darren Lewis at one point.
Yeah, and then I would say I didn't actually care about the Giants at all until interleague play. And here's what I'm going to mention to Joe from Portland. The thing that happens. Is one team in all of these situations is always inevitably richer. Their fan base, I would say. And so the Giants would come play the A's and it would be all giant, like snotty asshole Giants fans, because there's a long story as to why A's fans don't go to the stadium, but and they'd be insufferable, and they'd be like, "Oh, it's a Giants home game," and like it would be the worst, and like especially Oakland versus San Francisco, and it's the same with Lakers Clippers. Like, look, we said some things about Clippers season ticket holders this week, and we didn't mean Clippers fans don't exist, and in fact There's just way less of them, and it's probably terrible to be a Clippers fan. Well, it's just terrible to be an A's fan.
I'm not sure if we stress this enough to just, like, I've never seen the kind of concentration of fans for, like, a particular team as Laker fans in L.A.
Yes.
The numbers are just so overwhelming. And, you know, they had, like, a 20-year head start. And they didn't have a weird creepo owner ruining their reputation for their first 30 years in town, you know? So, right. Yeah. And I would also say that the A's-Giants dynamic changed quite a bit with the new ballpark, because as much as the Oakland Coliseum has a bad reputation, in, like, the late 80s, the A's were leading.
Yes.
drawing, like, 2.5 million, 3 million fans.
And it was before they enclosed. It used to be a great place to watch baseball.
Yeah, yeah. They enclosed the stadium for the Warriors, but it was like this beautiful grass field.
For the Raiders. You said the Warriors. And the Giants. Don't blame the Warriors for that.
I'm sorry. The Raiders. They did it for the Raiders. The Warriors, God bless them, just have been shuttled around. They had to play at the Cow Palace. They played some home games in San Diego one year. It was not a proud legacy of their homes. But, yeah, the Oakland Coliseum was beautiful, and the Giants played in, like,
a horrible place stadium, to watch baseball.
A stadium that got tricked by a developer. It's, like, at the side of a cliff that just directed wind directly into it. The guy, they lied and said that they were going to put seat warmers underneath. Like heaters underneath the seats, and then the developer was just like, oh, they're there, just the concrete got poured too thick. It's like, they were never there. Mm-hmm. And so Giants games were, like, dangerous. If you went to a Giants-Dodgers game, there's people who will talk about, like, oh, a Dodger fan yelled at me, or, oh, that Giants fan threw a beer. And it's like, when the Giants and Dodgers used to play night games in Candlestick Park, it was like, there would be 15 fistfights.
Yeah.
Like, not even in the stands, like, in the beer lines and stuff like that. Candlestick Park was a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's, like, as bad as the Oakland Coliseum might be now, it's still better than Candlestick.
Right. But, yeah, basically what happened is when San Francisco got really rich, they built a new stadium that's, like, yuppie central. People wear fucking mascot hats, they're garbage assholes.
The panda hat is like, feels like an A's thing, honestly.
And
Pablo Sandoval is like an A at heart.
And meanwhile, the A's literally had shit coming out of their toilets, and yeah, we liked it.
They're the most punk rock team. They're like safety pins through their noses because they couldn't afford medicine.
Is their owner like the fourth richest owner in baseball? Yeah. But he just doesn't give a shit. We're like children. We're like children who were disowned.
Yeah, their previous owner was like the owner from Major League.
And our dad,
it was like, we can't make the stadium good or else we might draw some fans.
And our dad is like a Fagin-like character who just keeps adopting street urchins and then selling them for money.
honestly, like, there could be an alienist situation that comes up in this very Victorian era baseball team.
But yeah, we've talked about baseball for too long. That's the problem, Joe, is like, no one actually does choose. Like,
yeah, right.
I know in the, like, you have to choose. You just do. And I have chosen just the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, you've abandoned baseball entirely.
Yeah. Was there a question about backup teams? Do we have to?
Oh, do you have like a backup basketball team? Do you have a second favorite at all?
It kind of depends on guys, I would say. Okay. It changes. So, like, there are certain teams I always sort of have a fondness for who are, like, bad at the same time I was a Warriors fan, right? So, like, the Clippers are one, the Raptors for sure. But, like, right now, my second team is probably the Nuggets. I just really like the Nuggets. I like Jokic.
Did you, who would you root for, like, in the playoffs in the 90s?
I mean, Dirk and Nash, yeah. I liked a lot.
I like Dirk and Nash. I rooted for the Suns a lot because I,
yeah, I love those Suns.
Now fans. I was a big KJ fan.
But, well, I'm in the 90s, I probably, I mean, I loved Shaq and Penny. I really went hard for that Orlando team. I really loved Penny Hardaway. But then later, you know, it kind of just depends on the guy. I don't have a go-to, like, that's my second favorite team.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I loved, you know, I'll also follow guys I like. So, like, I loved the Steve Nash Suns because Jason Richardson was on it in 2010. I was, like, in on that team because Jason Richardson was there. And I was all in on that Mavericks team because Don Nelson was the coach.
Oh, right, right. That makes sense. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, my second team is Real Madrid. Because that is where Anthony Randolph plays. All right. That took too long. All right. We have another voicemail. This one comes from our friend El Hafnero.
Hey, guys. This is El Hafnero. First of all, thank you for listening to my voice. I hate my voice. It's terrible. Anyway, my question is something I thought of after listening to you guys talk to Nick the Laker fan on your most recent episode. So I grew up in, like, suburban D.C. around the time Michael Jordan was a Wizard, but no one gave a shit about the Wizards. You were either a Lakers fan or a Kings fan. I was a Lakers bandwagoner when I was in, like, second grade. I am still ashamed. But the point was, like, that was kind of weird in D.C. on the East Coast. But, like, for you guys, it must have been super rough because you were in California, and I'm assuming that people just didn't give a shit about the Warriors, despite them being fun sometimes. So what I want to know from you guys is, what was it like just be in California and the West Coast and everybody wanting to see the Lakers and just no one caring about your team? And if you feel like I'm being mean, I'm sorry, but, like, yeah, it's depressing. Bye.
That was a very funny call that shit on our history.
Yes.
I would say the way Warriors fans reacted on the internet actually has everything you need to know there. When all of a sudden everyone hated their team and then they did not know how to act.
Right, because no one ever even
thought about the Warriors.
Like before 2014, why would you bother?
I literally used to tell people I was a Warriors fan and they'd say, really?
Yeah.
And that was in the Bay Area.
No, it's like it gives you no information except that like you kind of didn't expect good things or know what they were. You've never seen anyone play defense before.
A weird thing where it was like around We Believe, and then even the glow lasted a little bit longer. Even there was like this weird pride where people would be like, well, you know, the best fans in the NBA are actually the Warriors fans.
Yeah. And Warriors fans were good, but it is purely based on that 2007 playoff run.
I mean,
one was like paying attention in 2004 regular season games.
But I mean, they still sold tickets for a team as bad as they were. They were always consistently, for no reason, like a top 15 attendance team.
No, I agree with that. I just mean nobody was saying.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, for sure. Great,
because it was like, how would you even notice? So what's interesting about this is that when you consider where the Clippers are moving to in LA, arguably it's maybe faster to get from there where the Kings are to where the Warriors are than it is to get to where the Lakers are, the Clippers are. Although driving to Sacramento was also a traffic nightmare for the Bay. But, you know, the Kings were close enough that we could have certainly adopted.
I hated Chris Webber. I couldn't, as a Warrior fan, I couldn't get past Chris Webber.
I was just happy for, like, my Kings fan friends, and I loved Vlade. Well, it was also like you know, they were going against the Lakers.
Lakers more, but, like, I had, like, a blood feud with Chris Webber.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I still do to this day.
I get it. But the difference for me is, so again, Warriors, basically irrelevant, not anyone's rival since the 70s. And, you know, stuff would happen, but they would always screw it up or trade guys. Like, you know, Chris Mullin stands so tall in the franchise's history just because of the wreckage around him. But also, I had a weird situation where I rooted for the Lakers in the 80s because my father hated the Celtics so much. Because he's basically like a self-loathing Irish person and he hates Notre Dame and he hates the Celtics. And I think it's just to be an iconoclast, basically. But also, I found Kevin McHale so scary and gross as a child that, like, I found Kevin McHale personally so horrifying. And then basically everyone on the team looked weird. And I didn't really know anything about basketball, but I was like, these Lakers are a lot more fun. These guys are kind of handsome. They're not like mean white giants. And so, but also my dad loathed the Celtics. So like anyone playing the Celtics, I was in on. So that included the Showtime Lakers.
Yeah, I hated the Lakers because, again, I loved Penny Hardaway and I blamed Shaq for Penny, sort of. It doesn't make sense, but you're a child. No, you don't really understand. You know what I mean?
Well, I was hating the Lakers by the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't remember the Showtime Lakers, really. Like, I remember the Bulls playing them, kinda, in the finals. But I really hated Kobe Bryant. Mainly, and not for the reasons you think, but mainly because he ruined Antoine Jameson's 50-point game. Which I think explains this question, my saying that, right? Isn't that all you need to know?
That is exactly like that is the definition of super rough. It's never being able to enjoy Kobe Bryant, not for the obvious reasons, but because of your loyalty to Antoine Jameson.
Hey, he had back-to-back 50-point games, man.
He did. It was incredible. And what did they get for him in trade? Dan Dickow? Nick Van Exel?
Nick Van Exel, yeah. Evan Eschemeyer. Was Antoine Rigaudeau in that deal?
I think Antoine Rigaudeau was in that deal.
Yeah, I think he was. Dale Davis, was he in that deal?
He was not in that
deal. They trade Nick Van Exel for Dale Davis, who and then gets them Baron Davis.
Baron Davis. That's a weird trade. I don't know how they got Baron Davis for the stuff they got Baron Davis for. Even when it happened, like, Baron wasn't really good right away because I think everyone was stunned where it was like, wait a second, this guy's not 35.
It was a weird thing because the San Jose Sharks traded for Joe Thornton the same day for nothing, too. And it was like, oh, I guess it's just the Bay Area's turn to, like, get weird franchise players for free. Anyway, we need to move on. We're 35 minutes. We've done two Jesus questions. Christ. The season started today. We haven't talked about basketball. We've talked
about baseball for 25 minutes. Thanks, El Havnero.
Yeah, thanks, El Havnero. So, Sean, Michael Porter Jr., I guess this is news. We got to go to the news first. News.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
Michael, our top story, Sean, is not that the season started today. It's that Michael Porter Jr. has a Snapchat account. And on which we know because he helped us dox Adam Silver that one time.
Yes, the one time the Round Ball Rock Twitter account has been suspended is because Michael Porter Jr. Snapchatted Adam Silver's
phone number and we posted it on Twitter.
Former cell phone number.
Yeah.
But all we did was, you're not doxing when you retweet.
No, well, we took the screen. We took a screen grab of a Snapchat.
But I don't think we even took the screen. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
But anyway, Michael Porter Jr. got on Snapchat this week and said some wild shit about coronavirus.
Give us what he said, Joey.
Here's my question before we get to this. Is Michael Porter Jr., is he like the patron saint of Roundball Rock? Because he has given us more bizarre and delightful stories than basketball games he's played in.
I think that's right. Yeah, he was hustling. He hustled a child out of an expensive pair of shoes that was a graduation gift.
Playing 2K in his apartment. Uh-huh. He helped us dox Adam Silver. Uh-huh. There were all those rumors that he was a MAGA coming into the draft. Anyway, here's what he said on Snapchat. Quote, "Personally, I think the coronavirus is being used obviously for a bigger agenda. It's being used for population control in just terms of being able to control the masses of people." Thank you, Michael. I mean, because of the virus, the whole world is being controlled. You're required to wear masks, and who knows what will happen when this vaccine comes out. You might have to have the vaccine in order to travel. Like, that would be crazy.
I will say that is a possibility, Michael Porter Jr.
Here's my question. Is this Michael Porter Jr. acting out just because people have been talking about Bol Bol so much?
Yes.
Right? That's what this was? This is like sibling shit.
Uh-huh. Now also, I believe he was probably raised in, I wouldn't even say a MAGA family, because it like whatever is going on with that family like predates MAGA. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like he's 22. I don't think this is something that started 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I wonder what I can't really say what the thing is, because it's like QAnon adjacent.
It's like,
you know?
Tea Party shit, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. This is like, are they birthers? They're probably birthers, right?
Probably birthers. Probably his dad was like, I don't like how they handled Ruby Ridge. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
that's,
yeah.
I mean, now, to be fair, I don't like how they handled Ruby Ridge either. That was definitely a whoopsie from the U.S. government. That was terrible. ACAB. I think they're in on all of them.
Here's what I'll say about Michael Porter's quotes here. Uh-huh. I don't want to judge how smart a person is. But I just don't think Michael Porter Jr. realizes that the phrase population control means what he's saying.
That is the buzzword, right there. Because you see it in a headline, you know, like population control. It's like, oh, he's saying they're killing people on purpose. And he's like, no, man.
They're using the virus to control us.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's
they're
just like,
making us stay inside and making us wear masks.
They're taking pictures of your license plate, man. And it's like, oh, well, that's not what that phrase means. This almost feels like it's not even, this particular one does not even feel like it's like necessarily right wing. It's just something that like, maybe you would be talked out of this in the dorm when you're hanging out in the lounge for 2 hours. And someone's like, hey, Michael, that doesn't mean that. And he's like,
I don't have the quote here right now, but later in the Snapchat, he said he's been learning a lot of stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, that's like, it is. Check out the Rabbit Hole podcast, everybody. But it's very good. There are so many beliefs, like terrible beliefs and terrible lives that have been ruined just by YouTube trying to keep people on their site longer.
Yeah. What we need to do, here's our goal as Round Rock Pod. At roundrockpod.com. We need to somehow push Michael Porter Jr. We need to accelerate this and get him to BreadTube ASAP.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah. So how do we gotta like maybe maybe
everybody
just
send him like
videos?
Yeah, everyone just starts sending him their favorite bread tube videos. The real reason I wanted to talk about this though is because Mike Ballone was so afraid of getting canceled when he was talking about this today.
Well, no, he was afraid of being a canceller.
Well, no, because he's afraid to go either way, because he's also, I'll read the quotes. Okay. So, but he was so afraid of, like, you know, the Cronkies, his bosses, are like on Parler, though. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, right.
That's the thing. He's so afraid of getting called out by free speech Ben Shapiro or whatever. Well,
this is essentially a Brian Windhorst if he was a coach statement.
So Mike,
he's afraid of getting aggregated.
Mike Malone said, "Obviously, I'm not the thought police."
Yeah, because he looks like he's in the actual police. We've seen, although actually after sheltering in place, he does not look as much like a cop.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I mean, he grew his hair out. Smart move.
Yeah. now he's just a narc.
Obviously, I'm not the thought police. I'm not going to tell any of our players what they can and can't say. All I would say is just be sensitive to the current situation in our country and throughout the world in regards to coronavirus. Michael Porter and any other player on our roster, they're entitled to their opinions and ability to have free speech. Please do not cancel me. He's so afraid of getting Daryl Morey'd. To have free speech, and I will respect that as long as it doesn't become a distraction. What Michael stated, being around our players this morning at breakfast and practice, has not become a distraction at all.
Yeah, QAnons buy sneakers too. Yeah, he doesn't want to get named in the next Harper's letter.
Exactly. Michael Porter Jr. is deathly afraid. I mean, Mike Malone is deathly. He's going to sign Bill Simmons' sports Harper's letter that we're going to that we heard him pitching a few episodes ago.
You know, and you know, the Nuggets are going to need some new executives after those guys left for the Bulls. Barry Weiss, she's so unemployed.
All right. Our friend John Sullivan asked us a question about this, though.
Oh, yeah.
Who else is Michael Porter Jr. getting to join his anti-COVID pod? You know, the opposite of the Nate Duncan podcast.
Right.
Obviously, Kyrie and Dwight are the other charter members.
Dwight, for sure. I would argue that Kyrie is out.
Yeah,
because
Dwight. It's only Dwight.
Kyrie gave, like, a ton of COVID masks to the Standing Rock Sioux.
He's had it. Kyrie had it. Didn't he?
KD had it. But his best friend had it.
Yeah.
and he gave all this. He gave like hundreds of thousands of dollars to food charities. He's this is one where Kyrie's okay.
Yeah. No, Kyrie is. Look, anything relatively right wing, unless there might be some Steven Jackson-y stuff I could see him accidentally falling into, but...
Yeah.
Anything remotely right-wing, Kyrie's out on. Kyrie is,
he's a questioner.
Yeah, but also his questions go left. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not right.
Yeah.
Kyrie is, not a bigot.
Kyrie wants to join a food... He said his dream was to start a commune.
Yeah, no, he's like a hippie in a way that we just haven't really seen before. People understood what kind of hippie Bill Walton was, but Kyrie is like this very internet affected.
He's guys I knew in college who, with too much internet, weird, like. Hippies who listened to Infected Mushroom but also watched Loose Change.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Blacklight posters but also Loose Change.
And if they're gonna make the COVID truther version of the starters, I do think Andrew Bogut could be their Lee Ellis.
All right. Do you want to talk about the games tonight and then get out
of
here?
Yeah, let's talk about the games. Let's talk about the games.
We watched both games. How do you feel watching basketball again, Sean?
It was cool. It was weird because I know it was a really big deal and everything was back, but I was just like, especially because the first game was Jazz Pelicans, and I really don't find, like, the Zion free Pelicans, I don't find very compelling, even though I like the individual players. It's like,
I thought that, but then watching Brandon Ingram tonight, I was like, fuck, Brandon Ingram's tight as hell.
No, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of dudes that are tight as hell, but it's just the entire season, there is a just lack of urgency organizationally, right. And just, like, they've played 10 or 11 guys all season, which is cool. It just isn't a good formula for winning basketball games.
Yeah, and yet my guy Kenrich Williams still can't see the court.
I know. Love him. Well, each one more. Eight points plus three.
What do you think about... how mad is Adam Silver that their big flagship opening game had Zion playing 15 minutes?
Yeah. He was also negative 16. His... The Favors-Williamson combination down low was not... protecting the rim particularly.
I felt like no one was protecting the rim in this game at all. Like, I thought, and then I was like, oh, defenses are just gonna be way behind, like, but then the Lakers game, it was like, oh, actually these guys are protecting the rim. It was just Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert who just decided they didn't want to protect the rim that much.
I placed my first sports wager in I think of 2020, and I bet the under in this game, and it easily came through.
Hell yeah, dude.
So thank you.
What'd you think of Stan Van and Ian?
I kind of liked it. I mean, Stan Van is like...
I actually legit thought they were good.
I mean, Stan Van is like still getting... I mean, Ian Eagle is... I don't know if he's the best play-by-play guy, but he's like...
funny.
The most well, he's not the best play-by-play guy because of what do you say?
He's funny.
Rules. He rules. Yeah. I just think Kevin Harlan is the best announcer of sports anywhere.
Yeah. Well, and then I think Breen is better than Eagle too. When we're just so used to being mad at Breen because he's tied to two anchors. He's got two anchors on his fucking feet.
Yeah,
dragging.
But
him
I will. Yeah. But I will say that the thing that I really enjoy Eagle, and Eagle makes his broadcast partners look better than any other play-by-play guy does. Like he spent the entire year throwing lobs to Richard Jefferson. It's like, it's great because I think Stan Van is going to be good at it. He's like a good Van Gundy in a broadcast booth. It's crazy.
Yeah, and he's like a hardcore leftist.
Yeah, that's also amazing. Instead of like a hardcore, Jeff Van Gundy's like the baseball crank. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you asked him, like, he's sort of left-ish, but then you ask him like tough questions about, and you realize like, oh, this guy probably posted on Nextdoor a bunch this week. He has like a lot of thoughts about like homeowners associations and zoning. Yeah, but Stan Van Gundy
is like a guy who like votes for who votes for Kucinich but hates the governor of his state. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Stan Van Gundy's Stan Van Gundy's like well, I mean, I would just say that Stan Van Gundy, when his job was not particularly secure, talked in an interview about how coaching in Detroit made him sick because the people of Michigan, because Trump had gotten Michigan's electoral votes. Yeah. And he's just like, oh, I just can't stand the sight of these fans. I love that. That does not exist anywhere in the basketball
announcing landscape. Yeah, and I believe he and wasn't it just he and D'Antoni who gave money to Bernie? When we looked it up on Open Secrets, I think so.
I think that's right. I mean, Stan Van Gundy is way more extreme than anyone. Like, the Kerr Popovich ticket, like the DNC would be like running attack ads against Stan Van.
read our friend Katie Heindel's interview with Stan Van. It's great.
Yeah. It's good. Also, Patient Zero scored the first and last points of the game. That
they
was very
did that
poetic.
On fucking purpose, though.
Oh, they
that
absolutely,
was so well, I mean, fucking
the start
that
of
was
the game,
gross,
for sure.
Dude. Like, I honestly think that was Adam Silver's idea. Like, they were like, it's like the most like fucking Veep idea ever. Like, here's an idea. Just spitball in here. What if Rudy scores the first basket in the bubble?
That's a great idea, Dan. can we talk about how... Okay, so basically in this game, the Jazz starters were way better than the Pelicans starters, and the Pelicans bench was way better.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jazz starters played, like, slightly more minutes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Brandon Ingram almost won the game at the end.
Really fun, good game.
Yeah. Ingram was really fun to watch.
Fun.
Lonzo.
I was complaining was about Rudy Gobert's defense earlier, but his offense was actually great.
And oh, and I should also
that
say
is the
this.
Last
Donovan
nice
Mitchell
thing I'll
was
say
super...
about the Jazz this season.
Donovan Mitchell was super fun to watch, too. I should say that for the record. We got to be fair on this podcast. It really did make me wish that the Jazz had Bojan, though, because
you know what, there's one Jazz thing I want to point out, though.
Yeah.
Joe Ingles.
Uh-huh.
I actually really love Joe Ingles. I think he's like a funny character. He's really good at basketball. I love Joe Ingles. I love watching Joe Ingles play.
No one looks like him in the whole league. Except Bojan, I guess.
You had to look like that and choose the Ally jersey. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, they wouldn't let you put Obama third time on the back
right,
of your jersey.
Right. I mean, I tend to give people who are not American a bit of a pass. I understand why he thought Ally was a good idea, but just Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
You're white, Black Lives Matter is the one you choose. Just choose that one.
What was JJ Redick's? It was like
podcast reform.
No,
right?
it was let my wife take over the charter school, right?
Uh-huh. That's the education reform he wants. Wants back in. Come on, Brooklyn. Don't read anything about this on the internet.
I hate the fake fans, I should mention. The fake fans. Stop it. Show something
awful.
Else. Show something else. Anything else. Not those fake fans.
The crowd noise
it.
I found totally innocuous, though.
The crowd noise, I think, is good, actually.
Yeah.
Because cheers. It's just, like, ambient crowd talk. You know what I mean?
Like,
game ops. I think it's pretty good, actually. So,
yeah.
Good it's job, like, NBA 2K, doing one thing right in your entire fucking existence.
I also thought Stan Van, I don't think I had seen him in, like, a suit that I could remember. And he looked great.
He was
really
pumped. He didn't get to wear it. He didn't have to wear a tie. But he said he was jealous the coaches could wear polos.
it's looked great. He looked really happy, too. I love Stan Van Gundy.
Can I talk about those coach name tags real quick,
though?
Oh,
yeah, please.
So the coaches are wearing big signs on them that say... racial inequality, like we stand for racial. What does it say? It's
doesn't it say racial equality?
Racial equality, not inequality, obviously. They look insane. They look bad. There's no design to them. It looks like they're wearing "Hi, my name is" name tags, and then someone wrote in big block letters "racial equality."
I mean, the thing that I really feel like the equality we're really seeing is the authority of an NBA head coach just being lowered to, like, PE teachers.
Yeah, they look
like
PE Vogel teachers.
Especially. That coach outfit looked like shit with the name tag.
Oh,
or
you
the
said
patch
his name, I gotta play it.
What's up, Lakers fans? Coach Frank Vogel here.
I mean, I guess we were going to say it anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that brings us to the second game. Unless, is there anything you want to mention about Lonzo or something?
No, his defense was great. and you know he missed a lot of shots. It was like a like an ultra Lonzo.
Yeah, game. Lonzo was fun.
Oh yeah, but also what was that minutes restriction, Zion?
I mean,
put him in at the end of the game.
He hasn't practiced. Look,
I mean, Ingram did fine handling the ball. It's just like, come on. The 2 extra minutes, the final, he can't play the final 2 minutes.
I mean, according to Gentry, he tried to put him back in and they wouldn't let him. They said they'd used his minutes.
Who said that?
Alvin Gentry.
Who told
the
him?
The staff. The fucking Phoenix, the
Adrian Griffin,
the Phoenix expat medical staff, that the David Griffin's Phoenix super medical staff they brought in.
Man,
which by the way, never forget, Rick Celebrini was on that famous Phoenix Suns medical staff. ask Kevin Durant how good they are. All right, he is.
Bam, zing.
All right,
Lakers Clippers.
I found this game to be incredibly boring, even though the two best players in the NBA, not named Giannis, were playing in it. The only parts I were excited about were when Dion Waiters was on the court.
That is a Warriors fan-ass answer. I liked that Dwight Howard was terrible and my mom was horrified by him. I do want to mention that my mom also could not stop talking about how handsome Anthony Davis was.
Reggie Miller would not stop talking about how Anthony Davis got poked in the eye 3 days ago.
3 days ago, and they kept showing the clip, and they showed the clip more than once, and so the second time they did it, I was like, oh, he got poked in the eye again?
Yeah.
And Reggie made a big deal out of it. And then he was just back in the game, and...
No, Reggie would not stop talking about how Anthony Davis got poked in the eye. The Lakers looked really bad for three quarters.
LeBron James, 6 of 19 with 5 turnovers. Joey, is he done?
No.
Is he washed up?
What I will say is, look, LeBron, why did you dye your beard jet black, man?
Yeah, that sucked. With a gray beard, he would have been unstoppable.
He had a gray beard a day ago. Everyone saw it. Everyone has seen his big gray beard for 3 weeks.
Oh, TNT also was getting a shot of LeBron right before the game, and he was tying his shoes, and they accidentally just had this like long zooming in shot of his very bald top of the head, and then like clearly someone was like, cut away, don't embarrass him.
But yeah, like... LeBron, even though we've all seen how gray your beard was for the last 2 weeks, like, straight up, it had, like,
it's so Clyde much Frazier just
for,
gray
but
beard.
It was poorly dyed, too. It was, like, Clyde Frazier just for men.
Oh, man. I want to see LeBron do that ad. I want him to embrace Shaq's. Just endorse everything mentality. By the way, Shaq is now in a Frosted Flakes commercial, arguing with Tony the Tiger. He's cheating on the general with another animated character. I just want to give you this one stat, Joey. Dion Waiters, 11 points, plus 17.
Uh-huh,
Danny Green.
Oh, is that what Warriors ass shit, dude? No.
No.
Dion Waiters
Green,
is a winner, baby.
You only caring about when Dion Waiters is in the game. but Danny Green was negative 17. Who should really be starting at two guard, Joey? Obviously Dion Waiters.
No. Danny Green should be starting at two guard. Dion Waiters should be starting at point guard, baby.
Hell yeah. Oh, I love it, Joey.
Move LeBron to the four.
Uh-huh.
No, you know what? Here's
LeBron
what I want to see. No, I want LeBron at the four. I want Davis at the five. I want J.R. Smith at the three. I want Danny Green at the two, and I want Waiters at the one, baby.
I do not think J.R. Smith has a lot left, Joey.
I don't care. It's what I want to see, baby. Do it. Hey, what's up, Lakers fans? Play the fun lineup.
One more thing. Paul George made 6 threes, but at the end of the game... It was Gatorade time, Joey.
It's funny. I was thinking about this. I was like, you know, maybe it's the fans that make him nervous. Maybe we'll see some game winners from him in the bubble. But
No.
Not tonight.
Can we talk about his nickname real quickly? Just because someone brought it up in the popping off Discord.
PG-13?
PG-13. Uh-huh. A terrible nickname.
Yeah. You know, every PG-13 movie would be better if it were rated R.
Yeah, PG-13, I used to use that as a guide to whether to see a movie in the theater or not. If it was like, you know, what's PG-13 that is better than being an R? I mean, like, early PG-13 movies are just straight up R's. Like, how is Temple of Doom a PG-13 movie? A man's heart is ripped out of his chest. And they're like, well, that's not too bad. Not so bad.
Gremlins also, is another early PG-13 movie, I believe.
That's right. Yeah, but clear R. Absolute clear R.
Red Dawn is one of the first PG-13 movies. You know what I'm going to say? Red Dawn would be better if it were rated R. It doesn't fit really the 80s PG-13.
Well, you know what they had to cut because of the PG-13 and the R?
What?
There's like a...
Nudity?
No, there's, well, I don't know if there's nudity, but there's like a love scene between Powers Booth and a teenager that they had to cut. Ooh. It's crazy. and the studio was just like they, I think they, it made it to a test screening and the audience was like, wow, how old is she? Cause he's like a veteran helicopter pilot or something. Anyway, Dwight Howard loved that scene, by the way. But PG-13, first of all, Paul George's number didn't used to be 13.
Right. Bill Simmons gave him the nickname. Never forget. This is an open mic night. You got to come up with great names like PG-13.
And he basically made Paul George's life into a Celtic chant. Mm-hmm. We can smell it. PG-13. it's terrible, and I feel like it is holding him back.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's because it's such a common nickname, you call him that because it is his nickname, but it just feels so shitty to say that.
You know
it
what?
Doesn't describe also, him at all.
It's also not easier to say than Paul George.
No, it's much harder to say. It's a nickname that doubles the amount of syllables. It's like if someone's name was Mr. White and you called them Mr. W. You know what I mean? Like, it's... George. Like, George is a perfectly fine thing to call him. Oh, I hate it. It doesn't describe him, and it's like... Well, it actually does describe him now when
no,
you're like...
You know what? You don't want to call him that... George either. He's one of those people you say his whole name. Like, yeah, Joe Paul Johnson. George. It's Paul George. Yeah.
Paul George.
He doesn't need a nickname.
I was just thinking about how annoying it is when Bill Simmons used to only refer to Chris Paul as Chris.
Yeah.
Same deal. He's Chris Paul.
Yeah, or...
Just say Chris Paul.
CP3's not actually bad.
No, that's good. Well, also, because it's been his number forever, and it, like, rhymes. PG-13 is like a cheer.
Hey, let's say... I got an idea for you, Paul. Okay, PG-13's not working out for you as a name. What about this for a nickname? What if we call you Ringo John? You know, like the Beatles. Like, you Ringo John.
All
right, are we done?
Yeah, we're done. We're done.
Actually, no, wait, there is one. Oh. There's an actual important story I want to mention real quick. Yeah. The NBA academies in China were abusing their players.
Uh-huh.
And what do you have to say about that, Sean?
This league!
And I have to say, and what I have to say is, China is a problem. Smoke coming out of its mouth emoji.
NBA Twitter is still undefeated, Joey.
Yeah, that's fucking gross.
Terrible. It's ridiculous. How do they even have one of the... They have two open.
Yeah. They were, like, kicking players. Also, same day that came out, I don't know if you saw, Mark Cuban,
He covered up his big atonement.
Yeah.
Mavs are still evil.
Yeah, so never forget,
who would have guessed?
Never forget, The players are woke, the league is not, because billionaires are fucking bad. It's just my point.
I'm just glad that Mark Cuban did not get an Emmy nomination for Shark Tank.
Yeah, this Barbara Corcoran did. All right. Sean, what do you want to plug?
Come check out roundballrock.net.
Roundballrock.net for all your basketball writing needs. And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz. Where, on May 13th, I tweeted, damn, I left my Creed CD in my wife's car. Did you write a song, Sean?
I did. This is a car song about the injured Brooklyn Nets. And it's called Drive, parentheses, the lane.
Great. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's... I'll never forget that billionaires are bad, but basketball is good, even though we're all conflicted about the bubble. It was nice to have games tonight.
Ow, ow, ow!
Who's gonna tell you the earth's not so round? Who's gonna shove Joe Harris to get a rebound? I can't believe the Nets are getting the 8th seed. Who's gonna drive the lane tonight? Who's gonna yell at teens on Instagram? Who's gonna sell bitcoins in a scam? Who's gonna pay attention to numerology? Getting a tetanus shot for David Lee. It might be hard when Tyler Johnson's your point guard. Oh, oh. Who's gonna drive the lane tonight?
You know, it's a tough one for Brooklyn. Kyrie Irving hurt his shoulder hanging a dream catcher at the Barclays Center. Kevin Durant got COVID from sharing DeAndre Jordan's straw. Spencer Dinwiddie got a computer virus. And Wilson Chandler can't be in the bubble because his teeth are poisonous.
Who's gonna build his own solar house? Who's gonna yell and scream at Ethan Strauss? Everyone's heard you're leaning on Caris LeVert. Oh, who's gonna drive the lane tonight? Oh, you know it's a sin you don't still have Jeremy Lin. Who's gonna drive the lane tonight?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.